The text for the sermon is from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the text. You may be seated. And so we begin our series, Objects of the Empty Tomb. The tomb. Hear one of the prophecies from the Old Testament. Comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. "Then it will come about in that day that the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious." It's about the tomb. The story begins back in Genesis and begins with Adam. Adam formed from the ground, who was designed not to die, but to know God, to walk with God, to share the joy of the creation, to share eternity. But Adam, who turned away. And then come the words after the fall, "Dust you are, and to dust shall you return." But there is a plan. And the plan involves the seed of the woman, and the plan is set in motion, and we read in the New Testament, we read, "When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law," and Jesus is born. And so we come to John chapter 11, and Jesus came to the tomb. It's Lazarus' tomb. It is, by the way, the first occurrence of a tomb that we read about in the Gospels. There would be another tomb. It's not only Lazarus' tomb, it's our tomb. It is our bed prepared for us by Adam and Eve. "Dust you are, and to dust shall you return." And again, the story begins way back with the tomb. The tomb being the carrying out of the judgment pronounced in Genesis 3. "By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust shall you return." It's hard to hear. Now notice this. It was not the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that held the power. That fruit could not kill in and of itself. It was the word of God that attached a judgment to the eating of that fruit. It is part of how the word of God works. But second, notice. His word is where he comes to meet us. And it is always the case, even if you have to look very, very deeply to find it, that the Word of God will always bring and will always offer grace. Because the Word of God is a means of grace thing. It is what God uses to give His grace and His blessing. When we take the Word of God into ourselves, it is a blessing to us. even when that word of God is a word of judgment. When we run from the word of God, we run from the means of grace. That happens in practical ways, doesn't it? God says, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread and experience. And the doctors, they tell us that when we try to avoid sweat and hard work, we end up with all sorts of health problems, and our lives are shortened. When we accept that word of God to ourselves, there's a blessing hidden in it. When the people of Israel denied God's judgment spoken through the law, God's judgment spoken through the prophets, when they tried to avoid that word of God, well, things just kept getting worse and worse. And the judgment came. And when they finally realized that they could not run from the word of God anymore, then the return from Babylon came. That's the pattern which underlies part of why it is that we begin our services with confession and absolution. It's a terrifying thing to be under the wrath and judgment of God, to have the sentence pronounced on you. Dust you are, and to dust shall you return. Those are words of the tomb. Does no good to run from them. When God has spoken his judgment, his word and his judgment will simply follow and pursue us. And so we are back at John chapter 11, and there is Jesus at the tomb. And notice this, the word of God brings the word of God. Deeply moved again, he comes to the tomb. Tells them to move the stone, and Martha says, Lord, by this time there will be a stench. Better translation than just odor. There will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. I hear that and I read that, and what runs through my mind is that scene in the play Hamlet. At the graveyard where the grave digger hands Hamlet a skull, says, do you know whose this is? It's the skull of Yorick, the court jester. Hamlet says, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well, a fellow of infinite jest. And he goes on, and then the mood changes. Where are your flashes of merriment? And then the mood changes some more, and he says to the skull, get you to my lady's chamber and tell her, though she paint an inch thick, to this she must come. Make her laugh at that. That's the law. That is the sentence of the law, and it is our story. But again, there's Jesus at the tomb, and he came to be the Savior. He came to be our Savior. He comes to our place of death, our place of dust and ashes, and he meets us there. And Paul says, though he knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what happened is that Jesus shared our being under the curse. That means he shared our dust you are, and to dust shall you return. And in sharing that sentence, he was going to have to go walking with us all the way if he was going to set us free from those words. he would have to go to the tomb. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But exactly what happens when the Lord of life enters into death? What happens when eternal life is struck down by the dust you are, and to dust shall you return? It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. His sting is lost forever. Alleluia. That's the song we're going to sing verse by verse throughout this series. What does Jesus do with that dust of the earth and being laid in the tomb? On the third day, he rises. Of the tomb, of grave, of death itself, he breaks them. Many, many years ago, I heard a pastor talking about moon rocks, of all things. Those brought back by the astronauts. So there's something different between the moon rocks and the dust of the earth, because God never said to the moon rocks, bring forth. God never took the dust of the moon and formed it into a man and breathed life into it. God never took the dust of the moon and took it on himself to become one of us, carrying our dust, carrying our dust to the cross. But he takes this dust and he carries it through death and into the resurrection. So the things of the empty tomb, well, they begin as signs of judgment and suffering, but they're transformed. Transformed when they encounter Jesus. And the reason why they're transformed is he is the one who has life, who has that life in himself, who brings that life to bear, who brings the life into our death. And the empty tomb, who would have ever thought that a whole worldwide religion would thrill so much at the sight of an empty grave? We can't even go and visit the founder of our religion at his tomb. Isn't it wondrous? It must have seemed a very strange thing in the days after the New Testament. There in the Roman world, they had idols, they had temples, and what did the Christians have? They had something that was empty. Nothing inside of it. And the Romans must have wondered how this religion of something being empty, how that was managing to grow, spread, bring people from every language in their kingdom into the faith. And this is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion: the risen Lord. And this is the coming into being of the promise that is given to dust, that this dust shall rise to see God face to face. This dust. And it's okay to be dust. It's okay to be, well, Adama, the Old Testament word for clay or dirt. this clay will rise, this dust will see God, these ashes will sing his praises for all eternity. And it is as Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. In the end, he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see with my own eyes, I and not another. These eyes, these ears, these hands will be involved in praising our Lord Jesus, praising him forever because he didn't stand far off from us and say, they're only dust. He joined himself with this dust and brought the promise of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.